The Click Magnet Dating Podcast, where experts dial in to discuss dating mastery, both online and off.
Hey guys, Scott Valdez here, and you're listening to the Click Magnet Dating Podcast by Virtual Dating Assistants. Today I'm stoked to have Caleb, also known as Black Dragon, on the show. Caleb's a dating coach who decided to take a new approach to dating after he got divorced. He runs three small companies, and in his free time, he dates a lot. He coaches men on the lifestyle of the modern alpha male and how to adopt that lifestyle and meet more women, both online and offline. So today, we're going to focus on meeting chicks on the internet. Caleb, thanks for joining us.
No problem. Thank you.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about kind of where you come from, and, you know, it's always good just to kind of hear the story of the guest and how they got to where they are today with women and dating. I know, you know, you're 40 and you like to date a lot of younger women and have open relationships, but obviously you weren't always, you know, the smooth older guy dating a lot younger women. So how did you get to where you are now?
Well, I was married for a very, very long time, as in 9 years, and my mid-30s, I got divorced, and so I suddenly found myself single again and back out in the world, and I wanted to not repeat the mistakes of the past, not only just of my marriage, but of when I was dating and single prior to my marriage. And I knew that I was a busy guy, and I didn't have a lot of time to screw around with lots of dates and lots of getting phone numbers and lots of talking to women and all that fun stuff. So I tried online dating as a method, and I had a natural knack for it, and so I kept working it. I started keeping track of things that I did and started keeping track of things that worked and didn't work. And I found that, surprisingly, the women I met online were better looking and smarter and higher quality in most cases than women I would meet in real life. And I went, well, this works. So over time, I kept working it. I spent about 2 years developing a system where I could, whenever I wanted to, press a button, figuratively speaking, press a button and bring new women into my life whenever I wanted to, so that part of my life was handled. I have to worry about it never again. But that was the goal, and that's what I worked toward. Then, so it took me about 2 years. I was about 35 when I got divorced. I'm 40 now, so by the time I was about 37, I had that kind of nailed down. And so since then, I've just been kind of maintaining that system.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's obviously, you know, the end goal of any guy that's trying to use online dating to meet women is to have a system they can use to quickly and easily get dates. And that's, you know, obviously what we're about, especially with kind of the outsourcing arm of my company. But I know you've got really an awesome background in this, and I actually haven't seen anyone that really gets in the way that you seem to. That's, we really kind of see things on the same level when it comes to making online dating as efficient as possible for a busy guy like yourself.
Point. That's the entire point, is to be very efficient, because a lot of guys like me don't have the time to go on lots of dates or spend a lot of time at malls or clubs or bars and getting phone numbers, because that's very time-consuming. Even guys who do that and do that well will tell you very clearly how much time they take to do it. And often, especially if you talk about clubs and bars, you're doing it very late in the evening. Well, I have businesses to run the next day. I can't stay out till 2 o'clock in the morning on a Tuesday. I can't do that. It'd be nice, but I can't. I have to get up the next morning. So it's online dating, to me, is the most lifestyle-friendly of all the different types of dating seduction you could think of, to me anyway.
No. I agree completely. I think it can be the biggest time sink if you don't do it correctly, but if you figure out how to do it right, it can be a very extremely efficient way to meet women. So let's talk a little bit about that. Why don't we talk, just kind of starting it off on that note particularly, what are the big mistakes guys are making online that is making them waste, you know, so much time and making online dating not as efficient as it should be?
There's a lot of them, but the biggest one that I see the most often is that guys spend too much time talking to women online. So my entire concept, and I think you mostly agree with this, is that the point of being online and being on these dating sites is to schedule dates and make sure they happen. That's the objective. There is no other objective here. Your objective is not to talk to women. Your objective is not to look cool. Your objective is not to have long conversations with women. Your objective is to get that date scheduled and make sure it happens. And so what happens is a lot of guys will have long, drawn-out conversations with women that go on and on and on and on. And the nature of online is that the longer you spend talking to women, at least my experience is and the experience of all the guys I've worked with, the longer you spend, the lower your odds become of scheduling that date. So if you talk to her over and over and over again, suddenly she'll vanish, and then she'll never come back, and you're out of luck. And all that time you've taken is gone. You've got to start all over with a new chick. So instead, what you really should do, the opposite of that, is to pitch the date very quickly in the process. Not immediately, but pretty quick. That way you know what category she's in. She's in a yes or a no. You want to get her out of that maybe category as quickly as possible. And that's scary for a lot of guys. They don't want to do that. It's easier to just talk and say, so what did you do last weekend? All that fun stuff. That's great, but that doesn't move forward. That doesn't move the process forward anyway. That's the big time waster.
Yeah, no, you know, we couldn't agree enough. The thing about all the back and forth emails is it really doesn't, only to a certain point will it do much actually to help you. Women, if they want to meet someone online, like, they're actually there to meet people, not to build relationships online. We have female clients all the time that literally refuse to ask men for the date, but if the man doesn't ask within, like, the fourth or fifth email, the women just will literally be like, if he doesn't have the balls to ask me out, like, I'm not interested.
Even if she was interested, right? Even
exactly.
If she was interested.
Exactly.
Right. A lot of guys don't realize that they're blowing off these women who are interested in seeing them, but because they won't pull the trigger because they feel like, I'm scared she'll run away or whatever reasons they have, they're losing these women who would date them.
Exactly.
A woman who will date you or does want to meet you in real life, and a lot of them don't who you talk to, you got to weed those out. But a woman who will, when you ask her on the second, third email, fourth email, whatever, she's not going to go explode and blow you off. She'll say yes, or she'll give you a very casual blow off. It's one of those two, but the process is still on.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree completely. And you talking about that, it seems like almost a lack of men's, you know, confidence in asking women out is what's holding them back. They just don't feel like they're ready to pull the trigger. They're worried about the woman not accepting the proposal to meet or to take
right.
things to the phone. And I know, you know, confidence is a big thing that you talk about how guys really lack confidence online and why it's one of just a couple things that are extremely important to meeting women online. Can you just talk about, you know, how men kind of embody a confident man, you know, in a better way online and just not
It's a big topic, but also I'll give you the online piece to this, to be confident online and to avoid what you just talked about where here's what normally happens. Here's the thought process. A guy will go online. He'll read a few profiles. He'll look through all the pictures. He'll read all the stuff. He'll find two or three women or maybe even less who he really, really thinks are amazing. Oh, my God, this woman would be perfect. This would make the perfect girlfriend. She's so gorgeous. She's perfect. She's great. And it's a small number of women he thinks like that. So what will happen is he'll email these women. He'll get a response from one or two of them. And then those responses become his entire universe. I need to date these one or two women so I can't screw this up. And by saying I can't screw this up, you've eliminated 90% of your confidence. You become outcome dependent. So one thing that I've talked about a lot, and this is a little controversial, not everybody agrees with me on this, but if you're actually online and your goal is to schedule dates, is to not spend a lot of time reading profiles. Matter of fact, I don't read them at all. I look at pictures. I make sure that they're somewhat close to my house, and then I'll figure out whether or not I like them after I meet them or once we're talking via like some kind of IM conversation. I'm not going to get into the details of her profile because the odds are she may not even meet me in real life anyway. So what that does is it offsets this thing where I have to meet this amazing woman. You don't have that if you haven't read her profile or are not putting a lot of stock in what she says or a lot of value in her profile because there's so many women you're talking to. So just by the act of going after many women and not reading a lot of profiles, if one woman doesn't work out, you don't care. And so by pulling the trigger and having that possibility of her saying no, it's less of a fear for you. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, I think, you know, really the numbers-based approach is the key to being unemotional when you online date. And, you know, that's something that we talk a lot about. And it's hard to do it sometimes. It's hard to be really
right.
unemotional when you're online
hard.
Dating.
It is hard. Yeah. It is hard. And the way you do that is you go into online dating knowing that you're an emotional creature and that you have these feelings and that you have these needs. And so you manage your time and you manage the structure of what you do online to reflect the fact that I am the type, you know, I am the guy or I am a type of guy who might get a little needy, a little excited if I really get into detail about a particular woman. So instead of emailing one or two or three or four or 10 really great women, you email 20, 30, 40 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And these are 20, 30, 40 women or more that you really haven't – either you have not read their profiles at all or you've just kind of glanced at them. And that way, if you get a few responses back, you will have more courage to pull the trigger because you're not concerned about these one or two perfect women who may or may not say no to me. And if they say no, I'm devastated and I'm pissed off and now I've got to start all over again. But a lot of that thought process is removed if you don't invest a lot of time on the front end getting into these profiles.
Mm-hmm.
That's the big component online. I mean, there's confidence. I mean, we could talk the next hour about confidence. But online, in terms of the online component, that's the big one. is not only a numbers-based approach, which is critical. You've got to have a numbers-based approach to this stuff. And that's another problem. You were asking what a lot of guys do wrong. I've seen a lot of guys, they get online, they send out 5 emails to 5 chicks, or maybe 10. They don't get a response, or they get one or two that go nowhere. They go, oh, my God, online dating sucks. This isn't working. Well, you have to send out many, many, many of them. And the only way to logistically send out many of them is to not become invested in any one of them. Now, it's okay to become invested once you're in the process. Once you've scheduled a date or you've gone out on a date, that's different. That's fine. You become much more invested at that point. But at the point where you haven't even scheduled a date yet, there's no point. That's my theory. My deal is that there's no point in me spending 5-10 minutes reading a profile of a woman I haven't even emailed yet, who hasn't even emailed me back yet, who may never even read my opener. What's the point? It's also a time management issue. I'm going to read 30 profiles and hope that maybe 2 or 3 or 4 or 10 or whatever will get back to me, and maybe I'll go on a date with one or two. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with what you're saying completely. And one of the things, you know, with the whole template-based approach, let's say a guy he's doing more of a template-based approach, and he comes to you and he says, hey, man, I feel like I haven't just emailed 5 girls. I've emailed 40 girls, and I've just used this template I came up with, but I'm still not getting it. I haven't gotten a single response. Like, what are the first things that you're going to tell him to look at that you think he, you know, that could be the other areas he needs to improve?
Well, the first thing you'd look at is obviously what his opener is, what his template is, what he's saying. And I have found, I mean, there are exceptions to every rule, but I have found that the longer the initial opener is, when I say opener, I'm talking about the first email you send a woman for the very first time. If you have a long, drawn-out opener of paragraphs and paragraphs, that's actually a turn-off, and the response rate will be lower. That's the first thing. Second thing is the opener can't be too needy. If you're saying things like, oh, my God, you're so pretty. It would be so great to spend some time with you. I hope that you'll respond to my email. Very needy, very placing yourself under her. That's going to also reduce response. You want something that's exactly the opposite of that. You want a very brief template, a very brief opener that is not needy, that is confident, that conveys that, hey, if you don't respond to me, no problem, I'll be on to the next person. It doesn't say that, but it implies it. I mean, that's the first thing. The second thing would be the basics of who he's emailing. You want to make sure that the women he's emailing are the type of person who will respond to the type of guy. So, for example, if you've got a guy who looks like a rock star and he's got long hair and dreadlocks and he's wearing a black leather jacket and he's got crosses and earrings and stuff and he's emailing a bunch of corporate chicks, that's probably not the best use of his time. He needs to be emailing a different type of woman. But that's secondary to the content of the opener. That's the key.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's good advice. You know, one thing we've seen is actually that the length of the email, there's a correlation between the woman's age and the length of the email.
I have found that. You're right. I've seen that too.
Mm-hmm.
What have you
so
found?
So like older women can get much longer emails than shorter women and respond
yes.
well to them.
Yeah, I have found that. Mm-hmm. I've also found similar.
Mm, cool. Some validation theories
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, but regardless of all that, I don't like long openers. Once you're in the process, you could be a little more detailed. But as far as sending out blitzes of openers, I don't like sending out openers that are long, even if they're templates. Just mm-hmm. that's just – and again, I'm mostly sending emails to women who are, you know, under 30. So it goes back to your older woman, younger woman thing.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So why don't you tell us – why don't we talk about the older, younger thing? Well, you know, what are some more of the specific differences you found, you know, between approaching younger versus older women online?
Well, it depends largely on the age of the guy. So if the guy is 30 and he's emailing women in their 20s, he doesn't really need to do anything different because that's not a very big age difference. Women are used to dating men who are somewhat older, not way older, but somewhat older. The difference comes in when a guy is 35 or 40 or 45 and he's emailing women who are under the age of 24, between the age of 18 and 23. That's kind of what I call the very younger woman range. So when you're doing that, when your age difference is significant, that's the one time we have an exception to the pull the trigger quickly rule, where normally I would say 2, 3, 4 exchanges, emails back and forth, pitch the date, and start working on scheduling the date rather than working toward this conversation that's going nowhere. Whereas if you're an older guy and you're going after a woman who's literally in her late teens, early 20s, you need to be a little more soft because you have not only the issue of meeting a stranger over the internet, you've got an age difference issue. And even if she's interested in older guys, which is entirely possible if she's already emailing you, you still have to be careful. And you have to be a little nicer, a little more comfortable, a little more comfort building. So you have to spend a little more time talking to her. Ideally, what I do in cases like that is you get her off the dating site. That's a big key component of what I do is I get them off. Even if they say no to the initial date request, but they still want to talk to you, you don't want to keep communicating with them over the dating site. You want to get them off the site somewhere else. And that subconsciously puts into their mind, this is not a stranger anymore. This is a guy I know, therefore a guy who would be safe to meet. So you get her on Facebook, you get her on Yahoo Messenger, you get her on Google Chat, something else. It doesn't really matter what it is. Even texting over the phone. Get her on some other communication medium and start talking to her there. Most of the much younger women that I've dated, that's kind of how I made it work, is we'll talk to you a little bit online, and then we'll get off the online dating site. We'll go to some other medium, and we'll talk there, and we'll actually have more of a conversation there. And then you pitch the meet, and then you roll into the meet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think, you know, Facebook, obviously, as long as your Facebook profile is set up in the right way where you look very appealing there as well, you know, Facebook obviously has the additional benefit of giving you more access to more photos most of the time, which is something that I really like about that transition.
But a lot of times they might be nervous with Facebook and say, fine, you have Yahoo Messenger, you have Google Chat. Women love to talk, which is one of the problems with online dating, is if you get into a conversation mode, especially women under 30, they'll jump right into that, and they'll just talk to you for not forever, but they'll just talk and talk and talk because they like to talk. So even if they're afraid of things like identity for Facebook, they will often agree to other things like IM or email or even a lot of them texting over the phone, not phone calls. That might be a little threatening. It depends on the age of the woman, but just texting. So it's not a big sell to say, hey, do you have a GChat account versus saying something like, here's my number, call me, or let's go out on a date, especially, again, if you're dealing with a large age difference. And like I said, everything I'm just talking about right now is guys who are much older than the women they're talking to. Guys within plus or minus 5-10 years don't need to do this. If anything, you should pull the trigger sooner, those guys. I'm talking about much older guys with much younger women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I agree with that completely. And also, I think just generally with young girls, period, I mean, a lot of times the chat is kind of a necessary route. It depends on a lot of things, like even depends on the dating site, just, you know, the type of girl you're talking to. But, you know, I find that when I, you know, trying to meet younger women, and, you know, I'm 27 right now, you know, and a lot of the girls I try to meet are, you know, around the age of 20 to 22. When I'm dealing with those girls, just they're just so accustomed to chat that it's a more natural part of the process for them of getting to know someone online.
It's a generational thing. You're right.
So with those girls, I do like to kind of move to chat. You know, the problem for me is chat is something that is much harder to teach even than online dating, in my opinion, because it's live. And you've got to, if you're not good at chat, sometimes taking things to chat can actually hurt you. So maybe you want to try your chances of going straight for the number and doing some, you know, either getting her on the phone or doing text, because chat is very, very live, and you've got to.
Right, chat is very live. That's why texts are often safer. Even with chat, things with chat is, as I've told guys, when you're on chat, try to train yourself when you're talking to her to give yourself a 5-10 second response before you press enter, before you type a response, almost as if it was texting. What happens with chat when guys screw up chat, because you're right, it is harder to teach. When guys screw that up, it's because they're throwing out a thought without thinking about it first. They have to stop and think, this is in the context of making her comfortable with me, presenting myself as a confident guy and as an interesting guy, so she's curious enough to want to meet me in real life. And so when you send a message over IM, any kind of chat, you need to stop for a second and force yourself, literally force yourself to stop and think, is what I'm about to say congruent with that message? And if it isn't, stop for a second and change it. Instead of just going, boom, response. You know, she's typed something, boom, you respond. That's the danger with chat, is it's not conducive to thought process. Whereas with texting, there's a delay in there. You get a text, and just naturally, I think people stop and they think for a second as to what they're going to respond. Most people, some people just bound up text too. Depends. But that helps a lot with the IMing and the chat, is to just pause, force yourself to take a few seconds to respond before just banging out a response, which is too easy on IM.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. It's a really good.
It goes back to your point of how texting in a way is safer if you're not sure. And if she agrees to texting, go for texting. And again, you're right. For a lot of the younger women, texting is fun and it's part of the culture, and that's just what they do. It's not a very hard sell. As long as you do it in a way. Here's a quickie technique that I have discovered. It took me a long time to kind of figure this out. When I figured it out, it was like, oh, of course. And it made a big difference. I don't ask for phone numbers. I offer mine instead. So I never say, hey, give me your number, blah, blah, blah. Instead, I say, here's my number, send me a text. And for some reason, that's 10 times easier for them to respond to than saying, what's your number? And again, I'm talking about if there's an age difference or if there's a reluctance or if you can't get them off the chat or whatever, and you're dealing with the phone number issue. If you want a phone number, instead of asking for the phone number, offer it. I found that tends to work a lot better.
Wow, wow, wow. That's interesting. We'll have to do some more testing with that. Well, you know, what I usually do and what we do a lot of times for our clients is, you know, we found that we get a better response when we offer the number in the same message instead of just asking for it.
Right.
So we say, you know, here's my number, what's yours kind of thing.
Right.
Because then it kind of feels like a mutual exchange, too, which
makes
sense.
It's a mutual exchange, right? It's less threatening. Women still have this thing about giving out their phone number. It's a cultural thing, and they still have that even online. However, now, I'm not sure how you would do this, but my system is I don't even discuss the phone number until the date is scheduled. So it's a lot easier to get phone numbers from women because by the time I actually pitch the date before I even talk about contact information. Again, unless it's an exception to the rule, if it's a standard thing I'm doing, I will pitch the date and get the date at least somewhat scheduled before I start talking about exchanging phone numbers. Most of the first dates that I have for women over the age of 24 or older, I don't get the phone number until the date is scheduled, nailed down in the calendar, place, time, date. And then I say, great, if there's a problem, let me know, blah, 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 here's my phone number.
Yeah, that's funny because we used to do that a lot more, and then we shifted towards going for more phone numbers. You know, we noticed a higher conversion rate, I think, on those for whatever reason. But we do actually still go for the date a lot, and I think for us it depends how comfortable the client is over the phone. So we'll ask them how comfortable they are, and if they seem like they would be good on the phone just from our own observations. And
what percentage of your clients say they're comfortable on the phone? A lot of the people I work with say that they're not comfortable and they hate the phone. That's just what I've found with guys. I'm very comfortable.
Yeah. Most of them actually do say they're comfortable with the phone, but whether or not they're comfortable with the phone is another question. And the reason there could be discrepancies, most of our account managers are females, so being interviewed by a female, a lot of times you wouldn't want to tell them that you're not good on the phone.
Oh, I see. Okay. So you have guys think they're comfortable when they really probably aren't?
Yeah, exactly. Right. So it's one of those things. It's hard to know for sure if he's going to be good on the phone or not just by asking him, but what we do a lot of times, if we feel like a client's not going to be good on the phone, then we'll tend to go for the number more, or go for the date, I'm sorry, directly for the date. And we do exactly like you do. Once the date's set, it's obvious that it's very rare that she won't give her phone number.
Rare. I mean, it's
all you have to do is say,
twice in my life, but it's rare. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, all you have to do is say, you know, here's my number in case something last minute comes up, you know, be sure to send me yours.
Right.
Simple.
I say that, but that's actually not true because I have a process called comfort bombardment where once I have the date scheduled, let's say it's a week out. If it's a week out, a week's a long time without talking, and it's very high. The odds are very high that, I mean, you know this. The odds are very high she's going to flake on that if she doesn't hear from you. So I still want to have at least one very high-quality communication with her between that moment of time and the date, be that an IM conversation, a phone call, a text conversation, whatever. So she's still going to hear from me well before that date to make, because again, the objective is to schedule dates and make sure they happen, because a lot of dates, if you don't do these things, won't happen. They'll flake.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with that completely. You can't have like large gaps ever.
No.
Just the flake percentage goes way up.
Way up, yes.
So, you know, I know you have a very systematic way to all of this online dating stuff, kind of like we do, and you know, you've done it on a more personal level, and we've done it more on a client level. I mean, I know you've got just some great ways of tracking what's working for you and what isn't. So can you tell us kind of how you keep track of all this stuff?
Yeah, so, I mean, there's a lot of detail to it, so I'll give kind of the basics. I track everything using spreadsheets. I only track when I'm actually online in full sergeant mode, and usually I'm not. But when I am, I will make a listing of the basic – I make a listing of the basics. I've seen some spreadsheets out there. Matter of fact, there was just a news article about some guy, some banker, who like was doing this and was keeping all kinds of, I don't know if you saw that, kinds of information on the chicks, and he emailed one of the chicks, and then she went, she posted it, went viral. Yeah, anyway. So I don't sit there and write down things like very hot, pretty eyes, fun conversation, blah, blah, blah. No, that's a waste of my time. What I write down are things like basics, her name, her age. I write down the location of where she is, and I need to know that in terms of the distance from my house so I know what kind of travel time I'm looking at. You know, where I met her, what was the context of our conversation? Was it an IM conversation? Was it texting, a phone conversation, whatever? And then most importantly, the dates of the last time I heard from her, the date of the last time I sent her an email, because I want to know. I don't want a lot of time to go by without me talking to her. And if you're working with 10, 15, 20 women all at a time online, you can lose women really quick. So what I do is I sort the spreadsheet by the number of days it's been since I've heard from her. If that goes past 2 or 3 days, boom, I shoot her another email. I try to resurrect the conversation. until I know that she's out, and then if she's out, then I delete her off the list. The primary reason I keep a spreadsheet is to make sure that I'm not letting any women fall through the cracks. That was happening earlier when I was first getting started with this stuff. I'd email a bunch of women, I'd start a bunch of conversations, and I would forget to email back three or four women. Well, I don't ever want that to happen. Or I would wait too long. I go, oh, I forgot about what's-her-face, and it had been a week. Well, a week's too long. Time is the enemy. So under this system, what I have is now that I know the date of when I last talked to her and the number of days, as soon as it goes past 3 days, that thing lights up, and I want to make sure that that conversation continues. I don't want any longer than 72 hours to go between the time that we talked. Until, again, we've talked for real, in quotes, and there's been a date that's scheduled. Then she goes on a separate spreadsheet, and that's really to make sure she gets the comfort bombardment before we have the first date.
Mm-hmm. We do the same, but we wait a little bit longer for the email, and we call it a non-responsive. So, like, you send her an email, she responded, you send another email, and then she doesn't respond, right? How many days do you wait? You know, if a woman you're communicating with drops off the map, how many days do you wait to send her one last email?
2 to 4.
Okay.
4 days. Now, what will happen is I give her 2 shots. So let's say on the outset, let's say 4 days, I'll send her one more. I will not say, this is a big thing, I will not mention the fact that I'm sending her the email because she stopped talking to me. You don't ever want to bring that up. I will just say something like, hey, I forgot to ask, and then I'll ask her some kind of question either off her profile or off something we talked about. So it's a completely new topic. Like, it's almost a fresh conversation. I found that works better. And so I'll send her that, and then if I get no response from that, I might keep her on the list maybe a week and then send her one more, but I will notate that, hey, this was a non-response from last time. Game keeper, another week, maybe 12 days, send her one last one, no response of that, she gets deleted, and I move on to other women.
Mm-hmm. I like that approach. I do. Let's talk a little bit about your profile. Obviously, you know, that's extremely important. It's kind of the, you know, the basis of the way you're communicating yourself, you know, who you are online and what you're looking for. So I think it is really, really important, and within that umbrella, we've got your photos. We'll get to those in just a minute. But what would you say is the main objective of the actual text of your profile?
Main objective of the text, and you just said it, the photo is actually more important than the text, but the text is an important piece too. The main objective of the text is to keep it interesting enough for her to keep reading, almost like you're writing a sales letter. So if you are writing a profile text, you want to make sure that it is interesting, that it's different, that ideally it makes her laugh at least twice, so it's entertaining for her to read, so that she actually will read the entire text of the profile, that she reads it because she wants to read it, not because, oh, I'm online looking for a boyfriend, I have to read these stupid profiles. You want her reading a profile because she likes to read it. It's interesting, and it develops curiosity. You also want to, you know, demonstrate that you're a valuable person. You want to do that too. But if all you focus on is how great you are, you're going to turn a lot of women off. You want to demonstrate your strengths in the context of, I'm writing something interesting that I want her to read because she wants to read it. She starts reading a few sentences, and she keeps reading because it's so good.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is a random question. I've never asked this before, but are you familiar with what open loops are in copywriting?
Yeah, of course.
Have you ever tried that in your online dating profile?
No, I haven't. I've thought about it, but I've never tried that. No, I have thought about it. And
okay.
What I do is I do different versions of my profiles. Every time I go back on and do a new blitz, I will take an existing profile and make maybe 1 or 2 tweaks because I want to track the differences. And it also depends on the age of the women that I'm emailing, because that's a factor too. No, I haven't. And now that you brought it up, that's on the list for me to try the next time I go back. It'll be a few more weeks where I put up a new profile and do this again. But you bring up a very good point. You're talking about in the context of demonstrating curiosity.
I've played with it a little bit, but I haven't really tested the full potential of it. I think it's something that could really work well in terms, because you said, you know, the most important thing you can do is to make sure the woman keeps reading. Now, to explain what an open loop is, basically it kind of opens up an idea but doesn't finish it. So, you know, you could kind of tease something at the beginning of your profile, and you could say, okay, well, I'll tell you more about that in a minute.
Now, I do lots of open loops within the context of templates when we're talking to women in an email conversation. I do a lot of that, yes, because
okay.
I wanted to respond to me. So, but in terms of the profile, no, I've never done that. But I've thought about it. You and I think it's on the same wavelength.
Very cool, very cool. Yeah, I think that's something we should talk about, how you do when we get to messages in just a few minutes. Create an open loop right now. When we get to the messages, you'll have to talk about how you do that with messages. So let's talk about photos. I know those are really the most important part of your dating profile. So let's talk about photos. You know, I went through, you know, one of your online dating guides and saw some really great photo advice in there. So I know you've kind of, you know the importance of this, and you do have some good tips there. So what are the types of photos that you recommend using?
Big topic. So again, I'll summarize. Photos. The ideal combination of photos is more than one, but not too many, and that they're all different. So, for example, you have, and I'm just going to give you a random example. This may not match for every guy, but as a random example, you have one photo of you outside doing something fun. Then you have a second photo of you dressed very nice at a fancy party. Then you have a third photo of you at home, kind of casual, looking good, but kind of casual. And so you have three photos. They show you in very different lights, wearing very different things. They show a nuance to who you are. It's not the same photo over and over again. Too many guys either put 14 photos up there, which is a try-hard, or they put on a small number of photos, but they all look the same. Sometimes the same angle and the same background and often the same clothes, or it's the same context. Like a lot of guys will put on three or four photos of all of them at a party, which is fine. I mean, that's okay, but I've found that the response will go up if there's variation in the photos. So if you got one or two at a party, you got another one where you're outside, you got another one where you're traveling, and there's your four, three or four. And I say three or four as a general rule. There's no exact number.
Mm-hmm. But in terms of you know, probably one of the worst things you can do with your photos that I've seen the difference in response rates with professional photos can be pretty significant. They can really help you to get more responses online. But when somebody goes to a photo shoot and they only wear one outfit, then they use professional photos in the same outfit with three or four poses.
Yeah, mistake. Huge mistake.
Different photos.
Yeah.
Big mistake.
And you're wasting the time and effort, money for that photo shoot. You want multiple outfits, multiple backgrounds, multiple environments, multiple contexts. And again, not too many. You don't want to throw up 14 pictures. But you're exactly right about that. I've seen that too, where they're wearing the same outfit, often standing in front of the same wall. I mean, it's really bad. I mean, it's not horrible. At least they're professional photos, and they'll look better. And if a photographer does it, obviously they're going to take better photos. But you're absolutely right about that. You've got to have a variation in context. Women are nuance-seeking creatures. And so if you provide a lot of the same, even in your profile text, if it's the same kind of basic theme over and over again, your response rate is going to go way down because it's boring.
Mm-hmm. Let's wrap up this kind of section. Let's talk just one more minute about the profile text. You know, I liked a lot of your advice about kind of being non-needy and challenging and interesting. And I think that's really great. Really good advice overall. Can you go over some of that? And also, there was one thing that we don't do that much for our clients, and I know it can be effective because I do it for myself sometimes, but you talk about being a jerk. And our clients don't really like it, but you teach it in a way that I almost want to re-communicate to them so they can understand it. But a lot of guys just don't like that idea. So why don't you talk about the kind of the important things to be communicating through your profile and make sure to cover that one for me.
So the biggest thing is non-needy. And so you want to make sure that in your profile it clearly conveys you are a busy guy. You have a wonderful life that you love. You have a life that is complete. And even if she never emails you, you don't say these words. You convey this in your writing. Even if you never find that special person, you're fine. That's how good your life is. And so, in other words, you're not desperate. And now, that also conveys a secondary aspect. That also shows that a lot of guys, and I'll get to the jerk in a second, but a lot of guys, when they're talking about non-needy and confident, they go off the edge a little too much, and they say things like, I'm tired of women who do this. I don't want a woman who does this. I hate it when women do this. And they go on and on and on about that. Well, they don't realize that by saying that, you're being needy. You're actually demonstrating outcome dependence when you're too negative. So you want to go overboard, be too negative. You just want to convey that you live a great life and that you're a happy guy and that you're not an incomplete person looking for someone else. You're a complete guy, and you're living a great life, and if you want to come along, great. If not, then no problem. I'm on to the next person. No big deal. But that's the non-needy aspect. You were talking about jerk. Jerk, and if you have people resisting the concept of jerk, a better way to state might be hint of jerk. You're a little bit of a jerk. A complete jerk is probably going to work for a lot of women. But a little bit of a jerk is extremely attractive. It shows that you are non-needy. It shows that you are confident. It shows that you are funny. It shows that you are masculine. It shows that you're not afraid, because most guys are trying to play it safe online. You don't want to play it safe. You want to play it like you're kind of an asshole. Not a complete asshole, but just a little bit. And if you show hints of that as you write, maybe throw in a swear word, maybe throw in a really smart-ass comment, it demonstrates all these non-needy aspects that women find attractive, confidence being the primarily one. Jerk, hint of jerk, links directly in with confidence. And again, let me say it one more time. Hint of jerk or jerk does not mean complete asshole. There's a difference. And I made that mistake early on. When I first got divorced and went back out into the world and threw up a few profiles, I was off the chart jerk. And, man, I had women emailing back like, oh, you son of a bitch, I can't believe it. They had no interest in meeting me. They were real. They hated my guts. It was really bad. Now, amazingly, I still got dates and I still got laid. It was a little brutal. I had to put in a lot of numbers, but it still worked. I had to learn to tone back the jerk. So if anything, you want to start with too much instead of not enough, because you can always tone it back. So it's a balance. But that's, I mean, does that answer your question in terms of what?
Yeah, no, for sure, for sure. You know, I used to always have to tell my new writers when we used to do really customized emails, especially because that's the main place it would show up is in customized emails. We don't do so many customized emails like we used to. We do a lot more template-based emailing now. But I used to always have to remind them over and over to say, okay, listen, there's a fine line between challenging and being an asshole.
Right.
And your job is to find that line.
Right.
That's what I'd always tell them. Because
and my deal with emails is I am not a jerk when I'm talking to someone, when I'm emailing a woman. I'm only a little bit of a jerk in the profile. When I'm emailing, I change from jerk to smartass. Because smartass is fun. Jerk is a little threatening. So you don't want to be a jerk necessarily in your email communication or your online communication. But in your profile, you want some of that. There's a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I got line jerk smart ass.
Do you have any examples from, you know, I don't any past profiles or anything you thought of that of how they can do that just so you can kind of
They can do what specifically? Demonstrate jerk or smart ass or what?
Demonstrate jerk in a profile without being a complete asshole.
You say, I don't give a shit, da 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 da. I don't give a shit is a good jerk comment. And you say the word shit in your profile.
Mm-hmm.
Assuming the dating site allows that and a lot of them don't. Let's see. I had a thing for a long time that worked very well that said something like, you know what, if your ex-husband was a jerk, if your ex-boyfriend lied to you or cheated on you, please, please don't talk to me about it. That wasn't me. I didn't do it. If you have a problem with that, talk to God.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that. Now, you don't focus on that. You don't spend – because I've worked with a lot of guys where they have entire paragraphs like that. You just throw in a sentence or two occasionally. Like, look, if you're a drama queen, that's great. Not my problem. You should probably pass.
Mm-hmm.
A little hint of a jerk.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree with that advice completely. You know, most of our clients aren't really cool with that kind of stuff, but I, you know, do that in my own profiles.
Yeah.
So
a
you
little,
know, if
a it, little bit of it, and you can always jerk it up a little bit. You can take a really nice profile and throw in maybe two sentences that are just a little on the edge, and even that alone will increase response. You don't have to be off the chart with it, and you shouldn't be, but you can always take a real milquetoast profile and add two or three sentences. A little smart-assy, a little jerkish, a little, and just by doing that alone, you'll raise response, assuming your profile is real milquetoast to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I also think that can kind of, you know, if you do that in the right way, it can also kind of show that you have standards. And so by, you know, kind of making it sound like you set a high bar, it's in a way challenging, and that's attractive to women.
Right, very, correct.
That's kind of what we try to do sometimes, but we have to, you know, be very careful with that kind of stuff. But I think it's a great technique for the guys out there doing their own online dating, you know, just to kind of work that in and keep it more subtle than, you know, like you were saying, than really putting it in there hardcore. Because anything in online, it needs to be used kind of in a little more moderate.
And I think what a lot of guys think is you say the word jerk and they picture this real jerk profile, and that's not what we're talking about, especially not for them. That's what I tell guys. Take one or two sentences or phrases and make them acceptable to you. Just throw them in there. Leave everything else the same. It could be a slight difference. That's fine. At least start slight and see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Yep. No, I think that's really good advice. Really good advice. Let's move on to messages. I know, you know, you've definitely got a numbers game approach to online dating like we do. You know, there's some guys out there and, you know, I get these clients sometimes, like I, you know, I mentioned this before we started the call, but, you know, sometimes I get, you know, you get this a guy that's really picky, or he feels like, you know, maybe he doesn't have that many options, or maybe, you know, he just preferred to focus on just a few women that he's really interested in, and he feels like that, you know, these kind of women are just above templates, like they, you know, the top of the, you know, kind of la creme de la creme would be, you know, that he wants to focus on is kind of, you know, not really going to dig the template. So what do you do with these guys? You know, I know you do some coaching and stuff. So I mean, what's your answer to this?
Well, that attitude is fine if there's hundreds of women in that category. So if you live in a very large city of millions of people and you've got this very narrow category of the type of woman you want to be with, that's fine if there are many, many of those women. But if you go on to OkCupid or something and you do this search for the specific category of woman that you must have, and you cannot have any other type of woman, and, you know, 15 names come up, well, guess what? Something's got to give. I mean, it's just not going to work. You might get on a date with one or two of them, but who knows if that date will go anywhere? We don't know. I mean, there's a lot of numbers game on many levels. Yeah. So you just have to be realistic about how inflexible you're being. And so it really depends on – it's a case-by-case basis on the guy. I would ask the guy a number of questions. What is it you want? Why do you want it? What are these qualities that you consider necessities? What would you consider this? And just get the guy to kind of loosen up a little bit and broaden. One of my big concepts in online dating is to, especially when it comes to writing the profile and sending out openers, is to cast the widest net possible that you can within your parameters. So to be as lax as possible within your parameters. And I don't mean you don't have parameters. For example, I only date women who I consider to be at least an 8 or higher on a scale on my scale of 1 to 10 in terms of looks. I will not – if a woman is 7 or lower, I will ignore her. So I'm not saying you can't have standards. But see, but now to use me an example as an example again, I don't have a lot of parameters beyond that. I mean, I have a few but not many. If she's a real bitch or she's really dumb, I'll find that out on the first date. I'm not going to worry about that at the point of where I'm emailing her online. I haven't even met her yet. So if you really want to screen women, you could, a lot of that, you have plenty of opportunity to do that down the road when you meet her in real life. It's not something you need to be concerned about when you're on the online phase and you're scheduling dates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. And what about the guys that, you know, are in just in small areas, period? What if they're not in a big city, period?
I get a lot of questions like that. I don't have any easy answers. If you live in a town with you know, 5,000 people, 10,000 people, here are my two answers, and they're both not very fun answers, but here are the answers. One is, you need to make a decision that you're going to do a lot of driving. You're going to have to drive to the next closest large city. If that means you need to drive 2-3 hours away for dates, that's part of the deal. Because I can tell you from experience, both mine and other people's, that women are very loath to drive 3, 4, 5, 6 hours for a first date for a guy they've never met. Unless you want to spend weeks and weeks and weeks, hopefully, IM conversations with a woman, which a lot of guys do. Again, it goes back to time management. Would I ever do that? No. But that's one answer. Second answer is, you need to learn to augment other forms of meeting women in your life besides the online. So you use online, you also meet women during the day, you also meet women at dance clubs, you also meet women at going to dance classes, in your social circle, at work, whatever. You use other methods of bringing women in your life besides online, and online becomes a slice in the pie in terms of where you're meeting women if you live in a small town. Mm. Or a combination of those two things. Oh, a third thing is to really, really open your standards. Start getting very, very lax your standards and start emailing everybody. That's another option. And none of those are very fun, but that's the reality. I mean, most guys who are really serious about this and they really complain hard, my advice is, well, dude, you may have to move. And I'm serious about that if the woman side of your life is a critical component of your life, as it is mine, the woman side of my life is a critical component that has a lot of meaning for me. If that's the kind of person you are, you should move. You should move to a – it doesn't mean you have to move to New York City, but you move to a city that has the numbers where you can make that work. If it's not a big deal, then you can make a decision in terms of, well, I want my rural lifestyle is more important, et cetera. That's a decision you need to make for yourself.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. You know, I'll move basically to any end of the world, you know, right, if the women there are good enough. And, you know, I think if dating is a very important part of your life, you're trying – even if you're trying to – you know, right now, it's not even – you know, even if you're just trying to get married, it's still – it's kind of a numbers game. You need to get actually out there and meet a lot of women. So, you know, if I was going to get married right now and I, you know, I had to be getting married in the next – year to, you know, 2 years, the last place I'd want to be is in a small town with nobody online or right, not that many opportunities to meet people in person. So sometimes that is the best option, but it's obviously the last one.
I tell the guys that constantly. Even if your objective, which is not an objective I agree with, but even if your objective is to get a monogamous girlfriend or a standard wife, even if that's your objective, you owe it to yourself to meet lots of women and go on lots of dates and ideally sleep with lots of women and then pick the best one out of the group. Instead of limiting yourself to these, you know, try to be a sniper and pick off these certain particular types of women and hope that one of them work out, which is, by the way, what most people do.
Mm-hmm.
Small pool of women, the first one that says yes is the one I fall in love with, and that's the one I'll marry because that's the one I happen to be with. A better approach, if that's really what you want, is you want a lot of women in your life, and you pick the best one out of the group. I mean, it only makes sense.
Yep. Yeah, no, I agree with that completely. The only problem with that is this could turn into a whole new conversation, but sometimes once you've got all those options, then it's hard to stop.
But eventually you will stop. If you want to stop, you'll stop. It all goes back to what makes you happy as a man, what your priorities are in your life as a man. If it makes you happy, then keep going. If it doesn't, then stop.
I couldn't agree more.
The pursuit of your real happiness in your life is, if happiness is a priority in your life, and it should be, then you will stop. You will stop when you need to stop, or you'll keep going forever. It depends on what makes you happy.
I said almost the exact words with a reporter that kind of asked me this question. Because, you know, they say that online dating, what it's doing is it's kind of actually just giving people too many options where they can never decide, and you have all these serial daters and all this stuff. So, you know, that's a common objection to why, you know, playing the numbers game is not a good idea. But I think at the end of the day, if your happiness is at the forefront of all this dating stuff, then you're going to do what makes you happiest.
And are you going to, even a super ultra player guy, I mean, the example I use is Gene Simmons. Gene Simmons, of all people, just got married. At some point, you're going to calm down and you'll be with that one person, whatever the parameters of that relationship will be, marriage or whatever. You're not going to be a player forever, and that goes for women too. Because there are women players too. You're not going to be like that forever. Eventually you will, but again, it goes back to, you just said it, when you want to do it and when it makes most sense for you. A lot of people will settle down or we're getting off topic here, but you'll get a girlfriend or get married because that's what you're, quote, supposed to do. That's not what you want to do.
No, I agree. Okay, so let's move back into the emails. It's along the lines of what we're talking about, because we're about to start talking just a little bit about templates. And we've touched on the topic a couple times, but we haven't really, you know, gotten into any detail. So I'm pretty sure, do you even customize any part of your message, or you send fully templated messages, right?
I send fully templated messages, but one rule I follow is that I answer any question they give me. Because, again, online dating for women, there's a fear factor to it where they're a little threatened because they're talking to a guy who's a stranger. So what I want to do is if I send them a templated email, a cut-and-paste email, and they respond to it, and then they ask me a question, my response will be, I will answer the question. I always make sure, that's my number one rule, is I always make sure to answer the question, because if I don't answer the question, it raises a red flag. Why didn't this guy answer the question? You don't want that. So I answer the question, and then I hit Control V and I paste the rest, and then I send it. So it's templated, but I answer questions.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. I mean, obviously, if you don't, she's asking questions and you don't answer it,
and you don't answer, I mean, there's something up. Or even if you acknowledge it and don't answer it, you don't want to be too, again, it's a red flag issue. If she asks a question and you don't answer it at all, especially if it's a gotcha question like, do you want more kids? One of those gotcha questions, you have to respond to that before you continue with the process. And if you don't, you're hurting yourself. So I make sure to always answer questions, but then I roll right back into the templates and keep going.
For sure. I'm
100% templated.
For me, it's the equivalent of being a poor conversationalist when you don't answer questions.
That too.
It's like a poor listener.
Women are hypersensitive to that. Women are very sensitive to how well a man can converse and discuss and talk, even online, even via emails.
So my question would be the first template, that makes sense, sending it over and over and over again. And we, you know, sometimes we'll do kind of templated second emails, but it's tough because when you don't know where the conversation's going to head, how do you already know what you're going to put in your next email? You know, how is the second email templated too?
The second email is usually a qualification or something funny. So I'll give you a few examples. And this is something I stole from a guy from a dating guy style many, many years ago. So this is old stuff, but it works. Is I will send an opener, I'll get something back, and I will ask something like, what are your two greatest qualities that have nothing to do with your appearance? And then I add to that as an open loop, I have my own guesses, but you would know better than I would. And then I sign it with the first character. I sign it with a C, the first character of my name, not my entire name, just the first letter, again, to introduce more mystery. Mm-hmm. In other words, I'm not worried about where the conversation is because I control the conversation. So as long as I'm answering her questions, I'm not concerned about, well, what if she – how do I know where the conversation is going? I don't care. I control the conversation. You should control the conversation when you're the guy.
Mm-hmm.
So then I'll get a response back, and then I have another template response based on what they say. They'll say, blah, 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 blah. What do you think they were? What do you think my qualities were? And that's the part that is not templated. I will answer because it's an answer. These answers are not templated. And then I'll go to the next thing, which usually at that point, if it's a woman who's somewhat in my age range, it'll be pitching the date.
Mm-hmm. I like that. And, you know, the open loop is brilliant, guys. And that's where he's saying, you know, I have an idea of what they would be. And every woman, when she reads that, you know, she's obviously really going to want to know.
Oh, they got to know. They can't stand it. They have
exactly.
to know.
That's what an open loop is she's going to be going crazy until she can close it, because in her mind it's open, this big question is extremely intriguing, and she's not going to feel satisfied until she closes it, and that makes it more likely that she'll respond because she wants to know what you were thinking. My question would for you would be, How do you, you know, help her to close the loop? The next thing, you'll close the loop for her, right? She'll ask you what it was, then you'll tell her. How do you do that without actually reading her profile?
If she asks, I will pop back and read the profile. So when I'm talking about reading the profile, I'm talking about reading the profile before you send her an opener. Okay. Once you're in a conversation, if you need to refer back to the profile, go ahead. Because, and here's the deal, there's a very specific reason for that. She is now much more real to you now that she's talking to you online. She's become more real. When you haven't even sent her an email yet, she's just a picture on the internet. She's not a real woman. So why bother spending the time? Once you're talking to her, if you need to refer back to the profile, go ahead. That's fine. And I do that. I still won't read, if she has a long, long profile, I still won't read the whole thing. I'll glance through it and go, oh, she likes animals and she loves spending time with children. Or she seems like a very giving person. Boom.
That's how we do it, too. Like, we wouldn't read the profile before she writes the first message. After the first response, most of the time our writers will read, at least skim the profile quickly. Just because, you know, sometimes we'll do customized questions after that, but based on what she says, we have some that can work really well, depending on, you know, situational. It's kind of like situational templates. She mentions this, so we can ask this question.
Right, I'm just about to say, often you don't have to refer to the profile because of her response off your opener. Sometimes the response is a very definite response, or she's very silly, or she's a little sexual, or she talks about her work in the response. So that's plenty enough for me to answer that question. You seem like you're really funny, or you have a quick wit, or whatever. So often I don't have to refer back to the profile. Depends on the conversation.
Yeah, no. It's really, really good. Most guys, you know, that are listening to this, they're probably wondering, okay, well, great, you know, I'm going to send template messages. You know, what the heck do I say in my template messages? I teach guys some pointers, and then I tell them test, test, test. And that's really the most important thing is, you know, sometimes it's kind of counterintuitive, but can you give me just some basic ideas of the kinds of things, you know, without even necessarily getting to any specifics that have worked for you and that can work in terms of creating templates that women actually respond to?
In terms of the first email you would send or in terms of mid-conversation?
The very first email.
Here's what I do, and this is what I have found works, is that a very, very brief thing, and the content, these aren't the exact words, and there's many ways to word this. The content is, you seem interesting. If you want to talk, let me know. And that's really it. That's the two thoughts that you're conveying. You seem interesting. If you want to talk, let me know. Or another one is, I'm not sure if you and I would work out, but if you want to talk or chat, let me know.
Mm-hmm.
You're somewhat complimentary, a little, and you're just kind of leaving it up to her, and you're completely non-needy. Now, when she gets 100 emails from guys saying, oh, my God, you're so hot. Oh, my God, you're so beautiful. I really hope you respond to me. I can't wait to hear back from you. And then she gets a response from you saying, maybe. Let me know if you're interested. That alone separates you from 85% of the other emails she's getting. So I get a very high... Back when I used to be able to track this, and now most of the data sites won't let you, but back in the day, I used to get a very high profile view rate from those kinds of, just because it was so different. And I had women who I later ended up dating who told me on the first date, the reason I responded to you is because you left it up to me. You didn't gush all over me like most guys were doing. You were completely different about it. You said, if you want to talk to me, let me know.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing in terms of, if you want to talk about rules, my biggest rule online is to never, ever, ever compliment her appearance. Matter of fact, that's a global rule in terms of dating, too, when you're going on a first, second date or whatever. Do not ever compliment a woman's appearance. If you have to compliment her, and I would keep it very light, compliment something that has nothing to do with her appearance, how smart she is, or, you know, what she said about whatever, or she's funny, or you know, something like that, or her energy level, or whatever. Even those I would keep very light, but I do not say ever online, wow, you're really pretty, damn, you're so hot, lol, or whatever. I stay away from those completely 100%. And the prettier she is, the more important that is, that you do not compliment her appearance. I have a hard and fast rule overarching everything I do that I do not compliment a woman's appearance in any way until I've had sex with her at least twice. Because then I know she's a regular thing in my life and we're okay. But prior to that, I do not compliment appearance at all. And that goes double for online.
No, yeah, I agree. I agree with that completely. I never tell a girl, I never make any compliments in appearance unless I've pretty much slept with her.
Right.
You know, and it's a lot of times much later than that.
Yeah, it's extremely dangerous to compliment a woman's appearance before you're a normal, regular staple in her sex life. It's very dangerous because it's an immediate turnoff, and it's an immediate commoditization of you as a man.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree completely. So Have you tested actually doing, like, you know, some questions at the end of your email? Because, you know, we did some testing with this, and we did different templates, and we found that when there's a question at the end of the email, we would get a higher response, right? Just because it's hard for her to know what – a lot of times what happens is when you tell them, like, hey, hit me, you know, if you're interested, you know, send me a message. She won't really know what to say. And what I found is you want to make it extremely easy for her to respond to so that when she's on the fence – she won't sit there for a minute. Okay, what do I say now?
Oh, okay. Oh, you're talking about in openers. I see what you're saying. Saying question. And so you're talking about, like, if you were to ask a question off something based on her profile, right?
Not necessarily something based on her profile. A question that could be used for almost any woman. Like,
so, like, give me an example. What would be a valid question you've tested?
Question that we could use would be something like, you know, if I were sitting here talking to your best friend right now, what would she tell me about you that I couldn't learn from you reading your profile? Obviously, you didn't have to read her profile to ask her that question.
Right, right, okay.
You could ask that question to any woman.
I have done a little, but not much, testing on asking those kinds of questions, and my results were, and I didn't put in enough numbers for this test. This is about a year or two ago. It's a while ago now. But so I'm stating this with a grain of salt. Is my responses went up, but my date ratios went down. In other words, I got more responses, but I got less dates as a percentage from those responses. And that was just my experience. I mean, I'd have to do a little more testing to say that definitively, but that was my experience. So the point is that what happens when you're very gimmicky or you ask questions in the opener, it's possible, I'm theorizing, based on the results that I've seen, because the response rates go up, but the date ratios tend to go down. It's because she's responding to you not because she's interested in you, not because she's interested in meeting you, but because your opener was so cute. And so my overall concept is that I don't really care about response rates if I'm scheduling a lot of dates. So if my response rate is much lower, but my date ratio is very high off those response rates, I'm very happy. Because the entire point, again, is to schedule those dates. Now, again, like I said, is I don't have enough numbers to definitively say that having those kinds of questions will reduce your date ratios. I don't know definitively, but that's kind of what I saw. We'll have to test that more.
Yeah. I'll have to see if I can see that ratio to date ratio.
Yeah, we need to carry through and see if not only you're seeing an increase in responses, but an increase in dates. And if you do, well, then hell, we should all be doing that.
Yeah.
Because got an increase in response. That's without question.
Okay. Okay, that's really interesting. Well, I'll definitely have to do some more testing there. One thing that, you know, I don't know if you systematically tested this, but you could see, and we've seen too, and had similar, you know, pretty much I think the same reaction or the same results, is the specific days and times to send out messages.
Yes.
What have you seen have been the best times?
The best times that I have found is usually, in terms of best time of week, is Sunday evening. And a lot of guys who are professional eBay auctioneers will tell you that you will get the best price on your eBay auction if you market it so that the eBay auction ends around 6 p.m. Eastern time. We're talking about American stuff now. Eastern time, Sunday night, and then as a secondary Monday night. And it just seems like most people at the end of a weekend, they're kind of relaxing from the weekend and they're kind of chilling out at the end of the weekend on a Sunday evening. And a lot of people hit the internet around that time. So I have found that my response rates are very, very, very good. When I do large blitzes, I will time it where I will usually do them around 4 p.m. on a Sunday, and I'll send it a whole bunch. And I know that by 6, 7, 8, 9 p.m. I'll be getting a lot of responses. Sunday night is the best. Monday night is very good. Wednesday night tends to be good. Friday night is very bad. Now, I'm not saying I've never gotten dates from Friday nights. I have, but very unusual. Friday nights, people are out. People are not, again, I'm making general statements here. Not everybody. There are exceptions to every rule. But Friday nights tend to be much worse in terms of response rates than the key moments, which would be Sunday night, Monday night. Saturday during the day is okay. Saturday nights tend to be bad. Again, people are out or people are with kids or whatever. And in terms of time of day, nighttime. Nighttime seems to uphold daytime, which kind of makes sense. And so you would have to time it in terms of when people come right home before they've had dinner or later in the evening after they've had dinner. So stay out of the 6 o'clock time zone, unless it's a Sunday night. For some reason, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock seems to work very well for Sunday night. I don't know if that means people are eating dinners earlier or later on Sunday nights because it's a weekend. I'm not sure. But that's kind of what I've seen.
Yeah, we've seen similar. Our two most effective days when we've tracked have been Wednesdays and Sundays. And,
exactly
you know, it makes sense. Wednesday, I'm not exactly sure. I think people just tend to be kind of busy towards the beginning of the week. You know, Thursdays and Fridays they start going out. So Wednesday is kind of that prime time in the middle of the week where they're not as busy with
and
work.
Yeah, and that's kind of been my theory. I don't really understand Wednesday, but Wednesday is always a really good day. And I don't know why. I would guess, maybe Monday they're busy, although I've had good response on Mondays too, Monday nights.
Yeah.
But Wednesdays are great. Wednesdays are good. Yeah, Thursdays get more iffy, and Fridays are really bad. That's been my experience.
Yeah, yes, definitely similar experience there.
Yeah.
We've talked a lot about, you know, the kind of the opener email and even, you know, got into the next email a little bit. When do you go for the date, and how do you know if she's ready or not to ask for the date? When do you kind of pull the trigger on asking for the date?
Now, again, I'm using the example of a woman who is somewhat in your age range. So if you're way, way older than her, this would not apply. If you're a standard guy, standard woman within your age range, as in no more than 10 years younger than you or kind of in your age range, I usually will pull the trigger on the third off, sometimes the fourth exchange. What I mean by exchange is I send her one, she sends me one back. That's one exchange. Third exchange, fourth exchange, I pitch the date. I don't care, and maybe some people may disagree with me on this, but I don't care if she's ready or not. I have found that if a woman wants to meet up with you in real life, she'll meet up with you. If she doesn't, she won't, and it doesn't matter what you say. So my goal is to get her. There's an old rule that when they used to do sales training years and years ago, the old rule was the yeses are good, the noes are good, the maybes will kill you. And it applies directly to online dating, is because women who are definite no's, I love them. God bless you. Fantastic. You will not waste any of my time. When they say, absolutely, I don't want to see you. Ugh, gross. You're disgusting. Great. I will never have to bother with them ever again. They don't waste my time. The yeses don't waste my time. Who waste my time are the women who just go on and on and on and on and on. And like I said earlier at the beginning, a lot of that is men's fault. But anyway, I want her to get into the no or yes category as quickly as possible. So I don't really care if she's ready. A lot of guys try to focus on probing whether or not she's ready for this. I don't care. Again, in terms of a woman in my age range. So I just shoot out the pitch, and I make it very low pressure. I say something like, you sound safe enough. Tell you what, I've got Tuesday and Thursdays free. If you're interested, let me know what part of town you're going to be coming from, and I'll give you a time and a place. And I don't even ask for a phone number or that stuff. I just throw it out there. And again, if they want to meet me, they'll come back and say, great, I have Thursday and I get off work at 6:30. Or they'll say, you know what, neither one of those days will work, but I have Friday free or whatever. If they absolutely don't want to ever see me, they'll either blow it off and not respond to it, which is a woman's way of saying no, or they'll say no. Great, she's the no category, delete her off the spreadsheet, get on to the next woman. If she's wishy-washy, then I make a judgment call. And I have to make a judgment call based on a case-by-case basis. If she says, I want to meet you, but blah, 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 I make a judgment call. I might give her another shot. I might email her back and forth a little bit, maybe wait a day or two and try one more time and then delete her off the list. But mostly what I have found when you pitch the date that quickly, you get a no or a yes pretty quick. And the yeses are very easy. They come very quickly.
Mm-hmm. You know, I like the advice. It's a little bit different than how we do it, but it's definitely along the same lines. It's definitely along, you know, fits in with the time efficiency that you really teach.
Right.
In terms of online dating, getting, you know, going for it very quickly, and the yes or no things. I have some personal kind of experience with that kind of makes me laugh. You know, I used to be in a country, and I was living in Argentina for a while, where it was always a yes or no if you approached a girl. And I'm not talking about online dating. If you go up to a girl, she would either always brutally reject you, or she would, you know, be very interested.
Awesome.
And I got tired of being brutally rejected. But when I moved to Colombia, I was refreshing to get a lot of girls that were just extremely nice, even though I couldn't tell if they were interested. So you get a lot of maybes. But then what I realized is that the maybes really do waste a lot of your time.
Maybes.
And now I'm kind of back to where I think I might be ready for the yes and no's again, because the maybes, although they're nice and cute, they just waste a lot of time because you never get anywhere with them. So I understand exactly what you're talking about in an offline context.
I come from a business background where yeses and noes are very good and maybes drive me insane. So that's really my background of where I'm coming from. I can't stand maybes. Maybes waste your life. I would rather get brutally rejected and occasionally be happily accepted than this, well, I don't know, let's keep talking and see what happens. Well, I don't know, why don't you call me next week? Well, I don't know. No. Well, you're a really nice guy, I don't know. Kill me, I'd jump off a cliff. I'd rather just say, no, get out of my face, or yes, let's meet up.
Yeah. No, all you're saying makes perfect sense to me, and I've never heard anyone say that about online dating and really make that distinction. So I think it's really good and interesting advice. You know, we need to kind of start wrapping things up here. We're almost in that, you know, I think we're actually a little bit over an hour. But let's just, you know, one thing I did want to talk about was just kind of mention social networks. And I wanted to save it for last because really I wanted to focus on online dating. But, you know, I know you've used Facebook a little bit in the past. And to me, women, I'm not sure if you do it anymore, especially with cold emails. It's gotten really hard to do that these days.
Yes.
But, you know, can guys use Facebook? Is it even a viable route, maybe through friends of friends? Like, what is the Facebook, you know, status these days?
Here's my deal on Facebook, and I'm going to make some general global statements. And, again, there's always exceptions to every rule, but it's what I'm about to say is generally true most of the time. Facebook is not a good idea for completely cold contacting women. I even question if it ever has been. I'm not saying it's not possible. And I'm not saying I don't know one or two guys who have done it a little. They had to bust their ass, but they made it work. That's not really the best use of Facebook. What Facebook is very good for, and I'll give you a third thing, which is it's somewhat good for. What Facebook is fantastic for is resurrecting other women or ex-women from your life. That's what Facebook is very good for. So, I mean, this gets off topic into open relationship stuff, but if you had a woman you used to be dating and you want to reconnect, Facebook is fantastic. Or even old female friends that you might want to try to hook up with. Facebook is great for that. Facebook is an integral tool in doing that. But that's not cold approach, and that's not what you and I would define as true online dating. Online dating is cold approach strangers. The thing you could use Facebook for that I've done a little bit, and I've seen some guys have limited success with, you actually even touched on it, is using Facebook as a tool to meet women who are already somewhat touching your social circle. So using Facebook to contact women, women who know people you know, or women who are in the same social circle as you, if you're part of a dance group or a karate group or whatever, contacting women who are in that same kind of arena and communicating with that way and maybe getting dates off that, that can work. But again, that's not completely cold. Completely cold, looking up chicks on Facebook and emailing them hoping getting dates, it's not a good use of your time. Even if you're good, even if you're good looking, even if you know what you're doing, you're going to spend more time and effort doing that than you could on a dating site, without question.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I definitely agree completely. And, you know, I can tell you that Facebook actually, when it first came out, was actually a pretty decent vehicle for meeting women, at least in my university. I was just, you know, in my sophomore year.
So, like, back
year
in, like, 2000, like, 3, 4, kind of back then?
Yeah, right around
I guess that makes sense, yeah, within the because, again, it was almost kind of an internal college context. Yeah, it makes sense to me back in the
exactly,
back
exactly, because it was
yeah.
still exclusive.
Yeah.
You had to have an EDU email address, and people didn't really know what it was.
Yeah.
And back then it was good, and it always kind of surprised me because it went cold fast, in my opinion. And, you know, we still had people coming out with all these products about how to meet girls on Facebook, and I felt like they came out way after the Facebook. You know, Facebook kind of became a very ineffective way
to meet women. Is a different story. MySpace is completely different, but Facebook, no. It's not a good use of your time.
Yeah, I agree completely. You know, there are some really, really kind of, you know, and I know there are people that are doing this, and we've actually begun doing it for clients, doing some really kind of ninja stuff on Facebook through the advertising and stuff. And that's a whole different level. And I don't really want to get into all the details.
Wow,
but there are
cool.
some other ways you can do some stuff to try to find women on Facebook really efficiently. But the cold contacting where you're reaching out to random girls on Facebook, I think is, you know, the expiration date on that was years ago.
Yeah, there's a built-in bias against that with women where meeting strangers on, just getting friend requests, a lot of women, especially the non-younger women over 23, getting random friend requests from random dudes or random emails from completely random guys is a huge turnoff for most women on Facebook.
Yeah, exactly. And I think part of what happened is that, you know, people just realized that their entire lives became exposed on Facebook.
Right.
And so everybody's been trying to kind of pull back and try to make that, you know, Facebook a more private outlet of their life.
You're absolutely right about that. You're absolutely
random
right.
People trying to come into it is just, you know, over time has become less and less accepted.
Especially in the last 24 months, last 2 years or so, that's absolutely true.
Yeah, exactly. Just one final thing, though. When we're on the topic of Facebook, we might as well cover this real quick. You know, you talk about how Facebook can be a good outlet to kind of move things off of the dating site into another arena.
Yes.
What is important about, you know, having an image on Facebook that women will find attractive? Like, what are they, you know, obviously your pictures matter. I mean, what do you need to do to put together a Facebook profile? Because a lot of guys may be sitting there and saying, okay, well, hey, you know, if I get on Facebook, like, what do I need to have here? I mean, is what I have good now? What do they need to focus on to make
the
sure
name of the game is interesting. Your Facebook page has to be interesting. So if you have a bunch of pictures of you staring straight at the camera, these really posed pictures, that's not interesting. You can have a few of those, but that's not interesting. What's interesting? For my life, I travel a lot. So I take a lot of pictures when I travel, and I throw those up there. And frankly, I'll be honest, which is not ideal, but it works for me. Most of those pictures don't have me in them, but I took them, and it's very clear that I took these pictures. So it's interesting. It's something that makes them want to learn more about you. It's curiosity generating. If you don't have pictures, that option, I've tested this and this works. If you know how to write, and most guys are decent writers, write a little essay or write a little story about an experience you had and put that up as a note on Facebook so they read it. That helps. Because, again, it's interesting. If you don't, because some guys go, well, I'm not a party guy. I don't allow pictures. And I agree, I'm not. So you can do pictures as one component of that. Text is another component of that. Another thing, although this takes time to cultivate, is pay attention to who you accept friend requests from. What women do, if they add you and they see your profile, one of the first things they'll do is look at your friends. And they'll kind of just go through the pictures and kind of get an idea and feel for your friends. And if all your friends look like, you know, pot-smoking hippies, that may be a turnoff. But if you have a wide range of different kinds of people on there, you have old people, young people, you've got people from your high school, you've got pretty girls, you've got guys, you've got good-looking guys, you've got kind of a range of people on there. Again, same thing going back to the profiles, the photos in the profile, nuance is attractive. So if they see a nuance in your friends list, and frankly, my friends list isn't even that big. I think you've got like 200 friends on there, which makes me very uncool in the Facebook world. But it's interesting enough where women can look. And the third thing would be, I'm not a big Facebook guy. I use Facebook when I need it. I'm only on Facebook about once a week. So once a week, I will put a comment on there, and it'll be something funny, and it'll be something witty, and something that makes people laugh, and something that I know people will comment on. So anybody can do that. Sit down and think through some funny things you could say that throw on your Facebook page that might generate responses. And if you've got two or three of those on your main page, and they're all scrolled down, you can see that you're being funny and people are reacting to you being funny. Funny or interesting. Not necessarily provocative. I'll give you a no-no. You don't want to get way too political on your Facebook page. A lot of people do that, and that's fine if you're not in the dating world. If you're married or you're single and you like it, you can be political and you can be controversial, and that's fine. But if you are in the dating mode, you don't want to be talking about how George Bush is Hitler or how Barack Obama is a socialist or whatever. You don't want to talk about any of that stuff because 50% chance the woman you're trying to attract is the opposite political persuasion from you, and you've written her off. And women do look at that. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be too aggressive on your Facebook page, which would be kind of the opposite of your profile.
Yeah, I agree. And I know, you know, you also, I noticed in one of your online dating books that you are also kind of saying that you should do, you know, on your profile, put middle of the road as your political preference, because it's just, you know, you don't want to.
Because 50%, I mean, that's essentially, in the American world, we live in a conservative, liberal world. So if you're a conservative, 50%, actually more, of women are going to disagree with you. And then same thing if you're a liberal. So you put middle of the road for political persuasion, things like religion, do your best to leave it blank or something really basic. Because, again, some women will write you off just on those things. And, again, like I said earlier, you want to cast the widest net possible.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's great. And, you know, guys, this has really been an awesome interview, Caleb. And I know you teach a lot of the same stuff, but you've also got some, you know, some really unique takes on some things. And I think, you know, your products are definitely, if there is ever a compliment for the product, you know, that I have now, it's definitely yours, because they are, you know, very congruent with one another. But yours has got some awesome ideas that definitely have, you know, never even thought of myself. So I know they're going to want to, you know where to find you online, and also just where to find, you know, your online dating products, and maybe even mention a couple, you know, of your others that you have right now.
The main site with all my main stuff is blackdragonsystem.com. That's all one word. And then I have a blog where I talk about a lot of these concepts. I make at least 2 blog posts a day. And when I make a blog post, they're pretty long and detailed. That's blackdragon-blog.com. So between those two sites, that'll get you everywhere. All my products and services, a lot of free ebooks, a bunch of free stuff, a lot of free information on both those sites.
Awesome. So guys, check it out. Definitely check it out. His products page. Take a look. There's a couple online dating products there. And I've, you know, actually been through one of them completely and kind of took a glance at the other. It's really, really high quality stuff. And he's really got some great advice. It's definitely, you know, it comes from someone with a ton of experience with online dating, not someone that's just kind of rehashing what's already been written, a lot of which is really not very good advice. So definitely check his stuff out. Caleb, it's really, really been awesome. Just all the stuff we covered today, and we covered so much ground, everything from, you know, kind of communicating confidence online to meeting younger girls, which is great for a lot of my viewers who are older men that really want to meet the, you know, the girls in their 20s, and then just all this template stuff with the messages and the numbers, playing the numbers game correctly, which is so, so important. So I think my guys really, really, really have enjoyed this, and I just wanted to thank you for hopping on the call.
You bet. Thanks for having me.